Millions of students at colleges and universities across the country are preparing for Thanksgiving break, a time when most of them would usually leave campus. But this year, the annual student exodus has been stalled by the surging pandemic, and schools are taking extra precautions to stop the spread of the coronavirus. At the State University of New York system, known as SUNY, all students will be required to provide proof of negative test results before they're allowed to leave. Jim Malatris is SUNY's chancellor, and he joins us now for more from Albany, New York. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So normally, SUNY has about 400,000 full-time students across 64 campuses, but now during the fall semester, only about 140,000 were actually there. How many of them have been tested so far?
So we've been testing now for about 2 weeks as we wind down our in-person classes for the remainder of the semester. And to date, we've tested 149,000 students and faculty. So we're virtually there of testing everyone. We have today and tomorrow. We end at tomorrow at noon, but we're basically there already. It's been a tough, arduous task, a giant operational undertaking and challenge,
yeah.
But our campuses have done quite well.
Tell us more about that. I know that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and six other governors in the Northeast are urging colleges to provide free testing. How did you all undergo this? Did you provide testing or paying for these tests, or are students making their own arrangements?
So this was something that was really important to us. So about a month and a half ago, most health experts told us to basically send people home during Thanksgiving and then transition to remote learning. So like we set up the system to be that way.
Mm.
Let's take an extra precaution. Let's mandate that we test all of our students on the way out. So while most systems or colleges and universities are offering the testing, we actually made it a requirement for students before they left. But they're used to it. We required at the beginning of the semester that every one of our 64 campuses test regularly, our students, our faculty, and our staff. So that's why I think we've had a smoother time at this. We do it for free. We don't charge students, faculty, or staff for it. And we're able to produce it an in-campus test. We can do about 200,000 tests a week. So, and we took the cost on ourselves, so no one has to pay out of pocket for it.
Students are used to this, as you said, over this past semester, and they're used to this requirement. But how are you enforcing it?
So, you know, the good thing is there's been so much cynicism about students all across the nation, and you know, sometimes it's warranted. You've seen outbreaks arise because of large parties and students not conforming to the social distance guidelines. We had a couple of examples ourselves at the State University of New York system, but overwhelming majority of our students have complied with the social distancing and the masks and not doing large gatherings. So I think our students have been really mindful of doing tests because they don't want to bring the virus home and infect their loved ones, right? They're going to go home and see their parents. They're going to see their grandparents. They're going to see their immune compromised brothers and sisters. They don't want to bring it home. So the students I've been talking to and the students all across the system that I hear from are like, thank you. We want to make sure that we're not bringing this invisible killer home potentially with us. But for those small number of students that don't comply with the mandatory testing, we have pretty strict rules in place. One of the things that we did when I became chancellor at the end of August for the State University of New York was we put in uniform compliance policies, which means if you violate the COVID protocols on your campus, if you don't do mandatory testing and those types of things, you could be suspended or even expelled from college. There's serious consequences because this is a serious national health crisis. But we've had to use that very sparingly. Mostly our students have been complying because they want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. I hear exactly what you're saying, but can we do the what if for a moment? If students test positive and they don't have a safe option to isolate, for instance, you've actually said you're keeping campuses open. How is that working? Is SUNY providing and paying for housing and medical care for these students who can't leave if they test positive? And for how long?
In New York State, like most states, if you test positive for COVID, it's a 14-day isolation or quarantine period. We have a moral responsibility to our students as well, right? Some students have the ability to work with their local health department and find a space at home. But for many of our students who are living through this deeply troubling time health-wise, but also economically, right? They're like living on the edge with housing insecurity and food insecurity. Mm-hmm. We thought it was really important to mandate that our campuses remain open for those students who need housing, who need meals, who need medical support, which they are doing. And this is a moving target, right? Right now, we have about 900 students who have tested positive all across our system, right? That number changes day to day, depending on who comes in and who comes out. About 87% of those students right now are isolating or quarantining on our campuses or in an apartment off right off campus and things like that where the services are being provided by the campus. We have a deep responsibility and commitment to our students, and we don't want to change that now, given a health crisis, given that they may not have a place to go, and given that's around the holidays too, and it's really tough on many of our students and their families. So we wanted to take extra care for them.
You mentioned how this has been really hard on students and families. And I hear that SUNY has said it's expanding its mental health services for students. What have you heard from students so far about how they're doing through all of this?
This has been a really difficult time for our students. I think our students were happy to be back. And we were one of the few large university systems in the country to bring students back, like you mentioned. But, you know, the issues of loneliness and isolation and living in this different time where you have to be social distance as a matter of public health has taken a toll on our students. This is a really tough time, not only for everyone in society, right? I mean, everybody's feeling this COVID fatigue, but at the same time, especially our students, because they're living in a different environment, they're away from their families, and it's really tough and challenging for them.
Yeah. This is also a really expensive undertaking, I can imagine. How much is SUNY spending to cover all of these extra costs?
Well, the testing has cost several million dollars probably for all of our campuses. Mental health service expansion has probably cost several million dollars as well. These are difficult budget times for everyone across our communities, especially in states that need desperate federal aid, which we hope we get soon. But in a way, we don't really have a choice. So you always find ways in these difficult times to prioritize funding where they need to be prioritized for. So we're cutting back in other areas where we don't need to spend, so we can spend on those areas that need spending the most.
Last month, SUNY Oneonta announced the resignation of its president after more than, I think, about 700 students tested positive there. Other campuses have reported just a handful of cases. What precautions have you taken on campus to prevent new infections? I understand the continual testing that's happening, but how are you coordinating these plans across the dozens of campuses throughout the state?
So one of the things I wanted to bring to bear as chancellor was more uniformity across our 64 campuses. We put in place uniform testing rules, so every campus had to test. We put more uniform compliance rules in place, so it was being evenly applied, so there were serious consequences for violating public health orders by our students and others. We put in a transparency program, so you could actually go to a dashboard and see what's going on in individual campuses, so people have the right to know, our parents, our faculty, our students. And then we put in more uniform social distancing rules, mandatory masks at all times, limiting density and things like that. All of those things together has worked. But really what it's come down to is reinforcing this is a public health crisis. Oneonta was a giant wake-up call for our system. When I got that call, there were two cases of COVID on campus. 2 weeks later, there were 700 cases. I think that was a way for people to say, wait a minute, this spreads really quickly. This hasn't gone yet. Let's take extra care. And our students have done that.
Chancellor, we're all learning as we're going. I mean, this pandemic has really forced us to act really fast. And looking back at this fall semester, do you have any regrets staying open maybe as long as you have, or any other steps that you make? And as you look to the spring semester, what are you thinking about as ways to do things differently?
What I think we've all found during this crisis as people are learning more and more, right?
Yeah.
I think you have to be flexible and adaptable. And we're a giant system. We're like a giant ocean liner. It's really hard for an ocean liner to turn in the ocean, but we've had to do that pretty quickly in order to adapt. And that really does show that you can address these issues in a meaningful way. You can adapt. Once we heard Dr. Fauci and others saying that Thanksgiving travel will be problematic, we adapted. We said, let's exit test all of our students as a mandate. When we heard that you needed more social distancing rules and mask wearing, we complied. And we said, let's do mandatory masks at all times. So I think constant adaptability is that. And you're seeing that from us as well going into the spring. We know that the cold and the winter months are something that are a concern to our public health experts. So we're starting our semester later in the semester. Instead of starting in January, we're going to start in February. But if they come back to us a month from now and say, wait a minute, there's too many cases going on in your state. Take a little more time. We'll take a little more time. We've had to unfortunately cancel spring break for this spring because we don't want our students traveling across the country and going to different places. They call me Chancellor No Fun, which I feel sad for sometimes because I'm a lot of fun, Tanya. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you adapted. So instead of doing a spring break, we're doing mental health and wellness days throughout the course of the semester. We have to balance access to quality education in a time where you need more education now than ever with public safety and public health. And I think we've been able to balance that on the whole quite well. And that always goes back to the students. It's not what I say, it's what they do.
That's Jim Mylatris, Chancellor of the State University of New York System. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.